Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy for Saturday, May 11th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, on the second Saturday of each month. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results, and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. And I know a little about that myself, as I have had 10 careers. I started as a fashion model, then I was a rock and roll singer, a corporate consultant, an adjunct professor, and today I'm a professional speaker, author, coach, blogger, and radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's program. Zig Ziglar once said, "When you choose to be pleasant and positive in the way that you treat others, you have also chosen, in most cases, how you are going to be treated by others." Today's show is brought to you by Budgetpreneur.com. If you find that you have very little money to invest in your business and still need to get things done, stop putting those things off. Go to Budgetpreneur.com. They provide the resources and tools to help you manage your business, save money, and increase revenue. Visit www.budgetpreneur.com. That's BudgetPreneur.com, and become a member today. Let's get started on this day before Mother's Day. And if you're a mom out there, I would just like to say happy Mother's Day to you, and may all your dreams come true on Mother's Day tomorrow. By the way, if you're listening online and calling to ask a question, please mute your computer first. The number to call is 646-381-4198. We have a great show because we have a returning guest today. Our topic today is, it's a great life if you don't weaken. The Power of Next, which, by the way, is the new book by our guest, Jerry X. Shea. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Jerry X. Shea has owned 6 different types of small businesses and is an accomplished author and an inspirational speaker to both small business owners and the community at large. Today, Mr. Shea is going to discuss his book. As I said, it's a great life if you don't weaken. Welcome, Jerry X. Shea.
Well, how are you doing, Yvonne? It's great to be on your show again.
I'm so glad you're back. I am curious, before we get into your book, It's a Great Life If You Don't Weaken, The Power of Next, our listening audience might like to find out just how it is that a business owner ends up becoming an author and inspirational speaker. How did that happen?
Well, it happened. It's sort of one of those things that just came along, and I basically took advantage of it. I've spent the last 15 years, I've written 2 books on small business, and I've been talking about small business and how to be successful in small business all over the United States. And it was interesting that sometimes some conventions, seminars, or even Chamber of Commerce mixers or events, I would have people say, well, I don't exactly own a business, but is there something I can do just to be more successful in my everyday life? I thought, well, yes, there are some things, and I would talk to them about it. Many times I was invited to speak somewhere to talk about it. But I didn't have a book to back up what I was saying. So I decided maybe it's time to step out of the small business arena for a while, and let's see if we can write a book that can help the average person just have more of a successful life in general. And that's the result of It's a Great Life If You Don't Weaken, in which I talk about my philosophy of the power of next.
I like that, this power of next. You explain in your book how that one word, next, can indeed make someone's life that it feels like it's stuck on hold, and it can take that life and move it forward in a very positive way. Can you explain just what next should mean to them?
Well, it's such a simple word, yet I think many people don't really quite understand what next would mean. When you're doing anything and you just feel like, geez, I'm not moving forward, I can't go forward, I'm basically stuck on hold here. What do I do? The thing to do is just walk away from it. Next, move on to something else. Change your direction for the moment. Usually, any type of a predicament or a small problem that's taking place that seems to be holding you up, it's amazing if you take yourself out of that picture, it'll work itself out all by itself without you at all. So to stand there or remain in this position, in the spot where you feel there's a little bit of a problem and something's not going right, get away from it. Just move out next. Just say the word out loud, next, and move on. Now, of course, if it was an emergency situation of a fire or someone that needed medical help, you wouldn't want to walk away from it. But just in your everyday life, so many people just get stuck on hold. They don't move forward, and they scratch their head at the end of the day, and what have they accomplished? Not much.
Nothing.
Move away from things. Get out there.
Yes. I'm with you. I like that next. The book also has an overall theme of changing one's own faith and destiny by establishing a go-for-it-make-it-happen attitude about life. So how could our listeners get that go-for-it-and-make-it-happen into their life? How do you do that?
Well, the first step is to recognize that word next. Decide you're going to do something else, not be stuck here, and move forward and look at it and realize that if you do go for something else in life, all kinds of things that are positive happen around you. When we're not moving forward, when we're not doing anything, you can't expect things to come to you. Sitting around waiting for things to come to you usually doesn't happen. But if you take the initiative to say, you know, I'm going to go for it and make it happen in my life. I'm going to change. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to learn something new. I'm going to stop the old habits of watching tabloid TV shows and find out who's having sex with somebody else and who cares? What movie star is doing what with other movie star? It doesn't matter. Turn that off and do something that will help you advance your own life, your own career. There's so many things. There's night school. There's all sorts of courses. Learn something new. Get out there and go for it and make it happen. But you have to be the one to initiate it. It won't come to you by itself.
Truth is, I've done that many times. That's how come I've had 10 careers.
Yes.
I would
and
just feel
to your
stuck
opening.
In a rut, and I'd say, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's very good for you because a lot of the people that do make things happen in their life and are going for it are constantly moving around and changing. There's nothing wrong with changing what you're doing today to do something better tomorrow. If you're not happy with what you're doing today, why do you keep doing it?
Exactly. And I also believe you should just go for something to get out of your comfort zone, something totally different. And I, in my mind, I truly believe that if you feel a calling, like something's calling you to do it, then that thing is meant for you, and that's why you're getting it in your mind. That's why you're going, you know, maybe I'll write a book, or maybe I'll write a play, or maybe I'll start a business, or whatever it is. Go for it, because it came to you because it's meant for you.
That's absolutely correct, Yvonne. It didn't come to you by accident. That's the key thing. You know, when you do get those intuitions, when you do suddenly get this urge to do something, something's calling you. Go for it. Don't let it lie. Don't let it go away. I always say that many times great thoughts are like butterflies. They come along, and if you don't capture them right now, they just flutter away. So when something like that happens, just go for it. Just capture the moment. Capture what's taking place, what it's telling you to do, and go do it.
Totally. I'm with you. I'm totally on board, Jerry. Now,
we're both on the same page.
Yes. In Chapter 2, you're talking about the very early and pioneering days of open-heart surgery and your involvement as a cardiac technician. Apparently, that stage of your life played a very important part in the way you lived your life. Tell us about that.
Yes, and that's why I put it in my book, and it is in Chapter 2. In my 20s and going into my 30s, I was a cardiac technician. Now, as we were just talking about, I'm not a cardiac technician today, because other callings came along and I moved on. But for 12 years, I was working with the open heart surgery team out in California, Santa Monica, California, and we were part of the group that really pioneered and started open heart surgery in the United States. And in that, I got to see, unfortunately, every day people that were dying of a heart attack. And when I saw the lifestyles they were living, when I saw the type of foods they were eating, when I saw the fact that they were not exercising, that they smoked cigarettes, and they were gaining weight and they were under stress, I said to myself, I do not want to get into my 50s and 60s and be one of those people. So at a very young age, because of that experience, I changed a lot of things in my life. Obviously, I never smoked, which was good. I try to eat the right foods. I don't gain weight. I have an exercise program, and I keep stress out of my life. And those five things, yeah, those five things are the big killers. And if you can work around them and not let them bother you and do the right things, there's no reason not to have a long life.
Absolutely. You write in your book about the importance of understanding why your own personal health should be above and beyond the health of those around you. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, you talk to people and you say, what's the most important thing in your life? And it's fine when they say my spouse, my children, family. That's great. That's nice. But step back a second. What would they have if they didn't have you? So if you really think about it, you are the most important thing in your life. Because without you, they won't have you. So if you take care of yourself, if you put yourself first, then you'll be around for all the people around you. You'll be around to enjoy what the people around you have to offer. And you'll be offering things to them. They'll be offering things to you. But if you don't pay attention to yourself and you treat yourself poorly, well, you won't be around. So to me, I think the most important person in your life is you.
I know. A lot of people think that that sounds very selfish, but I have the same thought as you in that regard, Jerry, because I tell people in my classes the same thing, and when they say, oh, that's selfish, I remind them, what does the stewardess say when you're on a plane? She says, put your little mask on first, because if you don't get that oxygen coming to you, you won't be able to help the person that you need to help.
Yeah, and especially if you're traveling with children, you know, that's a tough one, and that's so right. You have to take care of yourself first before you can take
first,
care of your
right.
children. And you don't have to be on an airplane to do that.
They won't have you.
Yeah, of course, isn't the joke there, you have to make a decision which child you should put the mask on first?
Yeah, that's true. Stress. It's in our lives today. Everywhere you turn, people are suffering from stress. Maybe I should say the lack of stress in someone's life is very high on your chart. So how do people avoid stress in our stress-filled society? How do they do that?
Well, you just made a very key statement. You said in our stress-filled society. So let's back up a second. And why do we have what people refer to as a stress-filled society, and why do people have stress? Now, if you go back a number of years, and I'll take myself back into the 50s when I was a kid, when my dad came home, I never heard him walk in the door and say, oh, I had a stressful day. I heard him walk in the door and say, oh, boy, I'm bushed, too. It was a rough day. But I never heard him say, I had a stressful day. My mom, who was just a homemaker, scrubbed floors, washed clothes, did the housework, I'd hear her say, oh, I'm pooped. I worked hard today. But I never heard her say, I had such a stressful day. Today, the word stress is used as freely as the word love. And people that constantly are saying, I'm under stress, I have stress, are stressing their bodies out. And that's that fifth thing that's the killer in a heart attack. You can't allow your body to constantly be under stress. So by saying, I'm stressed out, your body goes, whoops, we have stress going here. We need to react to this. And that's wrong. There's no need to say you're under stress all the time. You can be tired. That's fine. A little worn down, had a rough day. But quit saying everything is stressful. You look at a young girl or a young boy today that's growing up in a house where the parents are constantly saying how stressed they are. Well, those kids are going to grow up feeling they should be under stress too. That's wrong.
So I actually would file that under be careful what you say to yourself.
Yes, you're right. Be careful what you say to yourself because it may come true. And just really think about it, Yvonne. There's so many things that the natural reaction today is to just say, oh, this is stressing me out. Oh, I'm so stressed. You go to the supermarket, you're trying to buy some food, and because you're having a little bit of a dilemma trying to make a decision, you're going to say, oh, I'm so stressed up over what vegetables to get. Come on.
People do that. You know, I didn't really think much about it.
Yeah, and the problem is we're using the word stress just as freely as anything else, and stress is dangerous. I mean, there's people that have cancer because they're so stressed out. There's people that have heart problems because they get so stressed out. All kinds of medical things can happen.
High blood pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, high blood
pressure,
sure. Yeah. You step away from it. Boy, there's a great big next. Just next. I'm getting out of this stress. Stop bringing
next,
stress into your life.
I'm getting out of this stress. I like
that.
I like that. Let's talk about chapter 16 where you talk about people who claim they hate their job. Why do people hate their job?
Yeah, why do they? I love this one because I'll sit down and talk with people at an event or any place I go, and you're talking, and they say, oh, man, my work just, again, it'll stress them out, you know, or I hate my job, I don't like it. Well, let's look at it. If you go to work and there's another person at your work that you just are maybe having a personality conflict with, something's not right, okay, you've got a little problem with that person. If I pick the two of you up and I move you to a completely new business, different location, different part of town, everything's changed, new building, the whole nine yards, everything's brand new, but that person is still there, would you still hate your job? No, you have a problem with a person. You need to resolve that problem and learn how not to dislike or have a personality conflict with that person. It's not really your job that you hate. Some people say, oh, are you kidding me? I can't stand the place I work in. Okay, again, if I pick you up, put you in another spot doing the exact same task, the same type of job, are you suddenly going to say, oh, this job is great? No, you're not happy with what you're doing. And you have to change your attitude about what you're doing and look at it in a more positive way. Be thankful that you have a job. Look at the people today that want a job and can't get one. So you've got a job. And you want to complain about your job? Next, back off. Let's not complain about our job when there's nothing really to complain about, and especially if you aren't doing something to change your job. You want a new career? Go to night school. You want a new career? Start learning. Study something else so you can eventually change your job. But don't take it out on your job. Don't take it out on your employer. Don't take it out on the building, and don't take it out on the people around you at work. When everybody goes to work, could you be the one everybody says, this would be a great place to work if it wasn't for that person over there? Because you're constantly griping and complaining. So, you know, it may not be the person over there that's bothering you. You may be bothering everybody else with your poor attitude about going to work. Enjoy work. It may not be the best job in the world right now, but at least you have a job. So let's get off this, I hate my job. If you don't really like it, learn to do something else. Time to move on. It's time to go next.
Next. Yep. Absolutely. You know what? It seems that today more than ever we really, really have a divided economy of the haves and have-nots, speaking about those who have jobs and don't have jobs, which
right.
is what helps you to have or not have. And you write that this comes about because many people don't understand the concept of pay yourself first and then live off the rest. Tell us about that. What do you mean? Pay yourself first and live off the rest.
That was the best advice I ever got, and I was 25 years old when a friend of my folks, a neighbor, said to me, he said, Jerry, I know you're good at saving money short term to go out and have fun, go places. It's time now to learn how to save for the long run, for the real future. And you do it by paying yourself first and then living off the rest. So I said to him, how do you do it? What do you mean by that? He says, every dollar that you get, every paycheck you get, somebody gives you money for your birthday, no matter what it is, every penny that comes to you, take 5%, 10%, or 15% of that money and put it away long range. Don't put it away to take a short vacation in 3 months or 6 months. That's a different savings. This is going to be a savings for your future. And if you train yourself to get that paycheck, put some money away, and now live off the rest, you'll adjust your lifestyle to what's left. That's what you live on. because you took a little bit off to put into the future. Now, I was, again, I was 25. And I said, well, how far into the future? He says, when you're 65. And my mouth just dropped open. I said, come on. You got to be kidding me. I should be saving now for something at 65. He says, you're going to be 65 sooner than you think. And when you get there, if you save for it, you're going to have a comfortable retirement. If you don't save for it, it's going to be rough. And that's what I see today. I run into a lot of people as I travel the United States that have saved for the future and are enjoying life, and I run into people that just didn't do it. They decided that a new TV, a new car all the time, or other things that they really didn't need would be more important than saving for the future. And today there's just no excuse for people not to put a little bit of money away and save for that future. Pay yourself first, and then live off the rest. Once you get used to doing that, it's real easy.
Yeah, I like that. One of the things that I used to tell my direct reports, and I've told my son, and that I recommend, is that as you start getting raises and so on, when you get a raise, don't just absorb the raise, regardless of how much of a raise, whether it's 2% or 10% or whatever you got. You lived without it last month. You lived without it last year. Take that raise and take part of that raise and put it away.
Exactly. Hey, that's absolutely correct. And if more people would do that, they would be amazed at what they end up having when they want to go into retirement. The government, as much as people hate government sometimes, the best thing they ever did was set up those individual retirement accounts, an IRA. And once a year, if you put money into an IRA and just forget about it, when the day comes you retire, you're going to be amazed at the money you have saved. But you can't put it in and say, well, I might take it back out in 5 years. You'll be penalized so heavily that you lose half the money. You got to have a long-range goal and just put it away. It's so simple if you start doing it. And you're right. If you get a pay raise, people get a pay raise or they'll get a bonus, and they'll spend every penny of that bonus. No. Take 10%, take 15%, take 20% of that bonus, put it away. Put it into the future. Now go ahead and take the rest of that and go out and do whatever you want to do with it. But at least take some of that money and save for the future. When you get into the habit of that, it's so simple. Pay yourself first. This comes back to who's the most important person in your life? You. So save for yourself. Save for yourself. Save for the future. Do it now, and then just live off the rest. And as you know, and as I know, and I'm sure there's people listening to your show that are shaking their head, yes, that he's correct. That's right. They're both right. But there's some people listening, they're going, it's so hard to save. I always need. No. Get in the habit. Live off of what you can spend, but save for the future.
So who's the audience for this book? 30-year-olds? 40-year-olds?
You know, the book is for anybody that would like to make a change in their life, irrespective of their age. But my demographics when I wrote it was looking at the 35 to 55-year-old age group. If by the time you get to around 35 in your life, you're pretty well set in something. Many people are married by then. They're raising a family, and life is going forward. And you get up into your 40s and into your 50s, and you start looking like, boy, all of a sudden, retirement is only 20 or 15 years away or 10 years away, and have I done anything to prepare for it? So the different chapters in the book are basically outlined to help anybody in that age group, or anybody in any age group, really, to help them get a focus on some of the things that they need to do to make their life more comfortable, make it a better life, have more fun, get more out of it, because there's plenty of things in there. I mean, there's relationships, there's things about getting a job, there's love and marriage. I have one chapter, is there a teenager in the house? Boy, that could be a whole book in itself.
That's true. What advice do you have for the young folks today that seem to be having such a hard time finding their place in society?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to the very first chapter in my book. I talk about where are you today and compared to where you may have been behind you 10 years ago or 20 years behind. And young people today are moving up. They're trying to do things, and they're trying to say, well, where do I belong? Where should I go? First of all, whatever brought you to this moment right now that they are in, and this goes for all of us, whatever brought you to here, there was a reason for it. Now, you might say, yeah, there might be a reason for it, but this is not the place I want to be. That's okay, because you have the power to change it. you can say next, I'm moving out of this life the way it is today. I want to move into something better. But irrespective, something's brought you to this point in your life. And now you have to look at it, where do I want to go forward? Sure, younger people might say, well, this isn't where I really want to be. I used to be in real estate, and I remember I was showing a young couple some homes. And they said, well, we want to live on the beach. Well, that's nice. Everybody wants to live on the beach. But there was no way with their income and what they were making at the present time were they ever going to be able to buy a home on the beach. And I talked to them and I said, look, the thing to do is just go get a home someplace. Sure, it's not going to be in the greatest neighborhood that you want to live in, but at least you'll own property. Sure, it may not be in the spot you want to be for that time, but you can work your way through it because you'll have purchased a home, you'll have property, and in time you can sell it and start moving up. And that's what you have to do. So a lot of young kids, they want to jump into the home on the beach. They want to jump into the top job. I had one of our sons years ago when he was going through college would come home, and he would grab the classified section of the Los Angeles Times, and he would start circling all these big-paying jobs. And I'd say, you know, what are you doing this for? He says, well, when I get my degree, I'm going to go to work for one of these guys. And I didn't want to shoot him down. I said, well, okay, let's get the degree first, and then you can go out and approach these people, see if you can get one of those type of jobs. Well, we all know what happened. He graduated, he went knocking on doors, and he couldn't get one of those jobs because he didn't have the experience. Yes, he had the degree, but he didn't have experience. And a lot of these big employers, they want someone with experience if they're going to pay him top dollars. He actually started out stocking shoes in a sporting goods store. That was the job he got out of college. Now, the good news, he stuck with it, and he worked his way up, and today he's a top manager of that same company. But he had to start at the bottom.
Wow, that's great.
It is great, but he had to start at the bottom. And he did not enjoy, you talk about hating your job, he did not enjoy making sure the size 11s were in the correct box. But it showed them at that time, okay, he's willing to do the work, so finally moved him out. He ended up working in sales in the cash register, and from there he went into history, and this has been a great job for him. He loved it. But he, like a lot of young people, they want to start right here. You're not ready for there yet. You have to work. You have to earn it. You have to work your place into society. No one, unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, gives you a great place in society. You've got to earn it, and you earn it by constantly saying next and moving forward. And that's what they had to go for it and make it happen, and it's amazing what will take place around you. But you can't get it just sitting there.
Absolutely. Do you have any final words for our listeners, like where they can get your book, or do you have an offer for them, or how to get in touch with you?
Well, the best and easiest way is just go to Jerry X Shea, and that's S-H-E-A, just like Shea Stadium, although I have no relation to Shea Stadium. So it's jerryxshea.com. If you go to my website, you can see my business books. You can see my new book, It's a Great Life If You Don't Weaken, The Power of Next. I also have Chapter 1 on that on my website. They can read Chapter 1 and see what the first chapter is like. They have a link. They have a link to get over to Amazon.com. They can watch my blog where I post blog spots all the time of great advice for both business and...
Okay, and I know that you also have a wonderful YouTube channel where they can find out more about you and watch some videos of you, because I enjoy those videos myself as you travel around the country, Jerry.
Yes. The videos are taken all over the United States. In fact, right now my wife and I just came into West Virginia, and West Virginia represents our 49th state that we have driven to. The whole 48 plus Alaska. Can't drive to Hawaii, but we've driven to every single state over a 7-year period.
That's pretty wonderful. Thank you very, very much.
Okay,
so
Yvonne, it's great being on your show. And to your listening audience, folks, get out there, go for it, and make it happen.
Thanks, Jerry, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. And I'll see you next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, I'll leave you with this thought for the day. Consult not your fears, but your hopes and your dreams. Think not about your frustrations, but about your unfulfilled potential. Concern yourself not with what you tried and failed in, but with what is still possible for you to do. Pope John the 23rd said that. Remember to join us on the second Saturday each month, and in the meantime, visit us online at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown to share your comments about today's show. And while you're there, become a friend of the show and use the comment box to tell us what you thought of today's show. Thank you so much, Jerry, and thanks to everyone for listening to us today. Thank you for joining us today. If you have a topic that you would like to learn more about, please send it to me at yvonne@yvonnefbrown.com. You may also use the contact page at www.yvonnefbrown.com, yvonnefbrown.com, to share your comments about today's program or to ask me a question. Until next time, this is Yvonne Brown saying, each day you have the opportunity to get out there on life's playing field or sit on the sidelines. It's always more rewarding to get in the game and play.